Barbaric Yawp by Charles Rammelkamp. I too am not a bit tamed. I too am untranslatable. I sound my barbaric yawp over the roofs of the world. Walt Whitman, Song of Myself. Mark Person had not been to the Association of Writers and Writing Programs, AWP for short, since it had been held in Baltimore sometime back in the last century. He remembered finding it utterly depressing being around so many writers. Of course, he knew theoretically that there were hundreds of thousands of aspiring poets and writers, but to find them all together in one hotel had been downright claustrophobic, especially watching the ambitious young ones, newly minted MFAs, looking for jobs and book contracts, kissing the asses of the older, more established ones, and everybody smiling at him in the hope that he was somebody famous. It all reduced the magic of literature to the world of commerce and competition. He vowed never to go to one again, and in fact, when the convention was held in Washington several years back, even closer to Algonquin than Baltimore, he hadn't attended. Yet this year he was going to attend the conference in Boston with his friend Roddy Nettles, who now lived in New York. The two had been close friends in Boston when they were in their bachelor 20s, renting apartments in Beacon Hill, and AWP seemed as good an excuse as any to revisit the hub, as the city was called, though really a much more provincial city, despite its charms, than any hub of the universe. Also, having published a couple of poems in the Cantwell Review by Murray Fitzsimmons, the head of the Hausner English Department, Fitzsimmons had found some money to subsidize Person's expenses. So, really, why not? But then it turned out that Roddy, an attorney, couldn't get away since a high-profile tax fraud case was coming to trial that week. So Person went alone, having reserved a room in the Marriott in Copley Square. The convention was being held in the Heinz Auditorium on Boylston Street, a few blocks away. At least he'd be incognito, he figured. He had nothing to sell, nobody to meet, no panel to be a part of. Still, he'd have to choose from among the hundreds of presentations, attend some, to justify himself to Fitzsimmons. Person flew into Logan Airport a step ahead of a snowstorm that had clobbered the Midwest and was bearing down on the mid-Atlantic before following him to New England. It would make the next 2 days in Boston a challenge. But Person didn't really mind. The winter had been so mild. Climate change, he figured, global warming. But after checking into his room, he lay low that first night, staying in his room now, reading, watching television, calling his wife Linda back home in Algonquin, turning in early. The next day, the storm had caught up with him, but he walked the several blocks from Copley Square to the convention center, soaking in the city of his youth, remembering his time here from a third of a century before. Hadn't there been a movie theater in this block, where he and what's-her-name had regularly gone before returning to his Beacon Hill apartment to have sex? Angela, an affair that lasted 6 weeks before Angela moved on to New Haven to start her life over. And what was the name of that bookstore chain? Hadn't there been one around here? All gone now. The wet, heavy snow blew sideways into his eyes. He ducked his head into his collar. At the Heinz Auditorium, Person joined the lines for registration, claustrophobic in the crush of people, all looking furtively around at one another. Was that Jeanette Winterson? A young woman ahead of him asked her companion. They looked like college students. Where? There. I can't see. Never mind. By the time it was Person's turn to collect his name tag and tote bag, he was sweating from the close contact, the jostling, thousands of people jammed together like a crowd at a rock concert or sporting event. The tote bag contained a map of the convention center identifying which vendor booths were where, a catalog of panels, readings, and book fair participants, and a pen. Was that Augustine Burroughs? Person looked around at a young man with a beard talking to his girlfriend, or so he assumed she was his girlfriend by the way he had his hand on her ass. Where? Over there. Oh, wait, can't see him anymore, but I'm sure it was him. Cool, the girl cooed. Person consulted his catalog to see what presentations he might attend. There were scads of them about creative writing programs in academia. Teaching Mutt Lit, colon, genre benders, hybrids, and other weirdness in the creative writing classroom. Apples and Oranges, colon, how different academic systems have produced different models for creative writing programs. One Room Schoolhouse, colon, teaching the private writing workshop on labor, junior women faculty in creative writing programs, creative convergences, integrating the arts and technology in the writing classroom, all voices everywhere, teaching creative writing to marginalized K-12 students, bound, not gagged, artful constraints in the creative writing classroom. It was like a poetic form, the descriptions of these seminars and panel discussions, a title followed by a colon and a succinct, enlightening explanation. They could be sonnets or villanelles, panels, seminettes. There were also panels on getting published and the business of publishing, where marketing meets development, who said fundraising's not fun? Not just a blog, how publishers and writers can and should use Tumblr to create and promote. Tossing off the covers, a peek under the sheets and behind the scenes of running a nonprofit literary organization. Rethinking your most important volunteers. Money is a kind of poetry, strategy and tactics for the small independent nonprofit. Choosing your own editor, creating meaningful one-on-one services for writers. Hurdles and widgets and dishes, the state of literary publishing. Publarinas, editinas, literettes. Where did the Cantwell Review fit in here, Person wondered. He was not sure what the expenses were that Bert Ashe, the publisher, encountered. He himself did not get paid. He just read submissions and wrote book reviews, corresponded with poets. There were also panels on the art of writing itself, using careless speech for careful writing, the art of using unplanned and casual language to convey style and meaning, the 10-minute play, the essential ingredients, looking for real-life Humberts, the unreliable narrator in creative nonfiction. Please complete me. Please don't make me gag, Love stories for a cynical age. Epistophilia, using letters and diaries in creative nonfiction. Changing the sheets, how best to get sex on the page. What to choose, which to attend. And then there were the ones about writers in modern society, poetry readings in the age of social media, the artist as activist, on seeing and saving the natural world, yoga and a life of the writer, video games, fan fiction and comics, alternative genres as legitimate literature. In other words, overwhelming. Person ducked out of the auditorium and walked back through the snow toward his hotel, having decided to spend the rest of the day at the public library. Was that Derek Walcott? In the hotel dining room the next morning, Person consulted the program directory again, thinking he might just work up the fortitude to actually attend a few discussions. While he scanned the catalog, how like a breakfast menu, he overheard two women at the next table. By the IDs on lanyards around their necks, dangling like crucifixes, he gathered that they were here for AWP, too. Ugh, there must be 10,000 people crammed in that auditorium. I know when the jostling for the elevators is just killing. I keep expecting one of those things to snap its cables. The famous writers get to read in the grand ballrooms, but all the panels seem to be in these small, airless rooms with low fiberglass ceilings. And then you think you're not going to see anyone you know, but you keep passing people who you don't really like very much. I thought I saw Don DeLillo in the lobby. That did it. Person's little wall of fortitude crumbled, and like a mouse scurrying back to its hole, he returned to the sanctuary of his room, where he decided that instead of going right away to AWP, he'd check out Kendall Square first, where he and Roddy had worked decades back at the Transportation Systems Center. Maybe then he would come back to Boston, return to Hines. It was kind of comforting, actually, riding the subway trains, entering the dry warmth of the underground station at Arlington Street, taking the Green Line two stops to park, and transferring to the Red Line to cross into Cambridge. The rush hour was over, and he was able to get a seat and look out over the Charles River as the train crossed the bridge. But once he got off the train in Kendall Square, looking at the ugly government building office complex where he'd worked all those years ago was a letdown. He remembered with fondness his first job after graduate school as an editorial assistant and the friendships he'd made with Roddy and Lenny Cohen and the others, but the East Cambridge office park itself was drab and boring. Was the tall one called Building One? He tried to remember. He walked over toward Broadway with the snow still coming down, but before he even got there, he turned around and went back to the subway. Maybe he'd go catch a matinee at the Brattle in Harvard Square, he thought. But then he remembered Lenny, who'd retired to Hawaii several years earlier, had told him the place had closed long ago. Instead, he went back into Boston, got on the Green Line train, and stayed on it as it sailed past Arlington and Copley and Hines stations. And he spent the day at the Museum of Fine Arts in the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum. At 10 that night, back in the Constitution Ballroom, there would be a dance and reception, with free beer from 10 to 11. But after a greasy dinner at a Kenmore Square sub shop, Person just returned to his room at the Marriott and went to bed. It was still snowing, the streets cold and slushy with the wet, melting snow. On Saturday, the last day of the conference, the weather finally cleared. The sun came out. Person thought he really should put it in an appearance at AWP. He could always make stuff up about the panels he'd attended, but for Fitzsimmons' benefit, but there were also likely to be some people at the booths he might enjoy seeing, Sank Books or Red Hen Press, Main Street Rag or Tin House or some other publication or press to which he'd submitted work. He wondered if Chamber 4, the Cambridge Journal, had a booth there. He should check the directory. But Person also wanted to walk around Beacon Hill a little, now that the weather was better, before he had to catch his flight back to Virginia. He wanted to go past the building on Myrtle Street, where he'd had an apartment, at the crest of the hill before it sloped down towards Suffolk University, and around the corner to check out Roddy's old digs on Pinckney Street facing Louisburg Square. He remembered somebody filming a Burt Reynolds film there one year, a romantic comedy, and in front of his own Myrtle Street building, Ken Russell shooting a scene for a movie called Altered States. But immediately, despite his optimism and the brief window he'd allowed for AWP, upon entering the auditorium, his spirits sank. Throngs crowded the book fair. Depressing snippets of conversation slipped like poison into his ears as he made his way around. My poem was nominated for a pushcart prize. My collection was a finalist, but it didn't get published. I'm afraid I'm a perpetual bridesmaid. I've applied for an arts grant from, hoping to land a 3-book deal with... Was that Sharon Olds I just saw getting off the elevator? Like an undergraduate at a party needing to hold a cigarette or a drink just to occupy his hands and give him some sense of purpose or protection, Person stood in line for what seemed like an hour and bought an overpriced latte to anchor himself as he walked among the stalls. What do you mean my book's not available yet? Why do you think I came out here from San Diego to experience the shitty weather? You promised me it would be ready, and I could get my copies. You assured me. Person glanced around at the redhead, staring daggers at the university press representative, who sheepishly hung his head, shrugging his shoulders. Further on, at the Zank table, he saw that Jennifer Spiegel was going to be signing copies of Freak Chronicles, and he remembered reading a review of it by Roman Gladstone in Chamber 4, and thought he'd wend his way over there, if he could find where it was in the maze of booths, using his map as a guide. He peered down the aisles, checked the booth numbers to see if he were making progress, when suddenly a commotion on his left disturbed him. A man shouting at a terrified-looking girl who looked to be some sort of under-assistant marketing type, probably a college intern. You gutless sellouts! If you had an ounce of integrity, you'd publish my book in a heartbeat. But you're just sheep submissively following your establishment masters. You should hang your head in shame for perpetuating the same old garbage you've been taught to promote. Look at you. I should laugh if I weren't so angry. Why, if I... With a shock, Mark Person recognized his nemesis, George Clark, the angry, self-styled revolutionary community college poet who had fired off threatening emails to him for rejecting his daring, groundbreaking, radical poems. Here he was at his old tricks, browbeating a kid. The girl's eyes were wet behind her glasses, her lip quivering. On an impulse, Mark Person contrived to trip over a stack of books and pour his cup of scalding coffee down the collar of Clark's shirt. Clark let out a blood-curdling shriek, a barbaric yawp indeed, the cry of a wounded elephant, and whirled to see what had happened. Everybody, for 20 feet around, had also turned at the sound of his cries, and watched in complete silence. Person, meanwhile, had lost himself in the crowd and was headed for the door. Fuck it, he thought. He was going to Beacon Hill now. Behind him, he heard a voice rise above the others and wondered vaguely if it referred to him, to Clark, or possibly to somebody else. Hey, was that James Franco?